When I was asked a couple months back to consider filling in, I had to figure out what I was going to preach on. So if you would turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, and I'll be turning there with you. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verses 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God Most High, thank you for this time that we can open your word, we can be instructed, and we can be fed. Help us, Lord, in this time that we would, that this would be profitable for our souls, and that we would refocus on what is important for you, and what is your will for our lives, and how we should be looking to you, and how we should conduct ourselves. Help us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. So a little background on what this message has been, basically a culmination of my life for the last year and a half. When it started out and things just seemed to be going in the wrong direction, it wasn't a plan that I thought or what I even thought God would have for us. When last year in April, our son decided to leave home in his junior year of high school and has never returned. And then to have a wonderful trip and go back east to army friends and be treated very poorly by one of them, to where I just didn't want to be a part of that anymore. To the point where a month later, in August of last year, lose a dear friend and co-worker who drowned in the Selway River. And it just seemed to be one hit after another. And I know that when you are depressed, it is selfish. It is one where you think of more of woe is me than praise the Lord. And then the fall was a little rough internally and family-wise. And then in December, we were told that my stepdad had cancer. And you just keep thinking, what next? But the bright spot, the last Wednesday in December last year, I mentioned in our prayer meeting that, would you please pray for a coworker who was losing his job because of budget cuts? And our dear brother Eli came and said, hey, if he's looking for a job, we might have a position at the children's home as a groundskeeper. And I said, okay. But as things would have it, I was told of something that was kind of dishonorable conduct by this individual in the last couple days he was working with us, and no details, but it was just, I didn't know for sure, and I said, I can't tell this guy about any job. I wouldn't recommend him. So then things progressed, and February came along, and things, not in any personal accusations, but by our department, we were accused that there had been complaints and such, and I had had enough. I just felt a bit of despair, and I went ahead and I asked. I said, is that position still open? And he said, who are you asking for? I said, for me. It was all I could do but cry when he said, I'd love to have you. Sometimes we need to hear things like that. And so I went ahead. I left where I was working for 31 years. Went ahead, and through it all, I started to realize it was something the pastor had preached on. It was when he said, it wasn't so much grievous sin in my life, but just remembering, and it kept repeating like it was beating me in the head. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. and I knew that God had been so good to me in my life. I don't know if things, you know, we don't know what God will have for my family or other situations. But when I focused and got my life back on, I started reading the Puritans and John Flavel, and my heart just sang. It was lifted up, and it was such that I went ahead and said, no matter what happens, God has been good to me and always will be good to me, but I have to realize that it's not all about me. It's about God, and it's about how we live before Him. So let's get into our text. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18, it speaks of rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, in everything, give thanks. That's what I had to end up doing. That's what I had to get my focus off of me, my situation, and my sorrows, and I had to focus on rejoicing. I had things that I needed to rejoice about. I will say you that much, through all the tears and the heartache, it has made me more where prayers are just fired out left and right because I don't know any other way. There was many answers to prayers through the things that I was telling you. It was amazing. I didn't ask for miracles. I wanted guidance and direction. I just wanted to know. And it was scary to leap out in faith, but it was one of those where this year has been great for me. So, with our text, let's look at where things kind of begin in the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, the sacrificial system, there were sin offerings, as you know. The sin offerings were to remind the people of their sinfulness and their desperate need of forgiveness, atonement, and cleansing before God. But there also were thank offerings, and most of us would recall them, as they're sometimes called, as peace offerings. And if you wanted to look those up on your own, you could find them in Leviticus chapter 7. So these offerings were designed to remind the people to be thankful. And that's what I had to be reminded of, to be thankful. To be thankful for God's mercy, thankful for God's grace, His loving kindness, thankful for His forgiveness, and for providing for all their spiritual and physical needs. So in our passage, it says, in everything, in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks. Even in your sorrows, even in your heartaches, even when you don't know what the outcomes are going to be, give thanks. This is God's will for us, to be thankful people, and to truly have, we truly have so much to be thankful for. No matter what it is, except for our sin, we are to give thanks. Our salvation is the very reality of thanksgiving. We are to be thankful for the unmerited favor towards us. We are to be the opposite of the unbelievers that most of us understand and we think of quite often when we discuss in fellowship of Romans 1, verses 20 and 21. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. It's a distinguishing mark of unbelievers to be unthankful. But not just generically unthankful, but specifically unthankful to God. We are to be thanking God for the provisions that were made for us in Christ. As believers, we know God is working in everything. God has created a plan and a purpose for every life of every believer, and He's working out that purpose in your life. So there is a design goal. Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And I think that's why it's hard for us sometimes. In some of the commentaries I was reading, John MacArthur said, it is okay and it's acceptable that you're fearful of what's going to happen a little bit, or that you are going ahead and you're wondering with your prayers, God, I kind of want it now. You want things to be the way you thought they should be. But that's not always the way they are. He works out his plan. We are on a schedule that is designed by God and ultimately ends up in our eternal good. And that's what is tough to understand sometimes. The pain, the sorrows, and the heartaches. It's working out. Did this last year and a half change me? Yes. And I understand that, of the changes that have come in my life in the last 20 years or so. But it does hurt. It is tough to go through. But I am thankful. With God working everything out, with this being true, but why do we complain about anything instead of just simply being thankful? And gratitude and thankfulness are the fruit of grace, and gratitude truly is a work of the Spirit. Gratitude is the only reasonable approach to life for God's people when you truly understand the sovereign purpose of God. But sadly, God's people often sin the sin of ingratitude. We are not thankful. We want what we want. We want what we don't have, and we don't want what we do have. Sometimes we're jealous, envious of what someone else might have. We feel somewhat left out, or that we have received unfavorable or unfair treatment in our life. I've met people that way. I understand. Some of them have had some tough blows. But there's always something to be thankful of. If believers feel this way, they're calling into question God's divine purpose for their life. We have to remember, God makes no mistakes. He makes no mistakes. Thanksgiving should be our normal expression every single day we live. Every single day we live. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And as I prepared this message, I was thinking of those of you that have ever gone through FOF or Fundamentals of the Faith. If you remember back to when it told prayer, that was part of it, that when you end up going ahead and you confess your sins, and then it's to lift your praises and your thanksgiving to God in your prayers before you go ahead and ask for the things for you and for others. Always be giving thanks in your prayers. Even when we don't have what we want, or you want what you don't have, even when you're crying out to God for something to change in your current circumstances, don't worry about it. Pray and let him know, and don't worry. We are to come before the Lord with a heart of thanksgiving and let our requests be made known to him. Colossians 2, verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. We are to be abounding in thanksgiving. Or as another translation says, I think it was the ESV, overflowing with gratitude. Overflowing with gratitude. Your thankfulness and gratitude should flood the environment you live in. You probably all could name people, whether it be in our congregation or your daily walk, that are just bubbly, cheerful, loving people that you enjoy being around. So that's what it should be. We should flood our environment. We should be thankful. And if we're asked what we're thankful for, then we can end up sharing where that thanksgiving comes from. But it should flood everything around us. People should know, and it should just wash over them. Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you were also called in one blood, in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. We should devote our lives to thanksgiving, to thanking God for everything. That is what we are commanded to do, to be thankful. Ephesians 5, verses 17 through 20. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things to God. Always giving thanks in all things because we know that God is in control of all things. In the early part of Ephesians 5, it speaks of things that God's people should not do and what we should do. Ephesians 5, verses 3 and 4. But fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And we should be giving thanks always. And just as it said in verses 1 and 2 of Ephesians 5, we are to be imitators of God, walking in love. That's how we should live. In everything, give thanks. God's word speaks of so many ways and situations where we are to give thanks and be thankful. So I wanted to go through a few of these. We are to give thanks for the goodness and mercy of God. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Psalm 136, verses 1, 2, and 3. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. O give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. We are to offer thanksgiving for Christ's power and his reign. Revelation 11, verse 17, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. Thanksgiving should be offered for deliverance through Christ from indwelling sin. Romans 7, verse 23 through 25. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law in my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Thanksgiving should be offered for victory over death and the grave. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks should be offered for faith exhibited by others. Romans 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Oop. Oh, I didn't turn. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. Thanksgiving should be offered for the nearness of God's presence. Psalm 75, verse 1. They had part of the first little extra that they have on top of the Psalms all the time. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, for your wondrous works declare that your name is near. We are to give thanks for all things. Ephesians 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's people are exhorted to be thankful. Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. And God's people are to abound in faith with thanksgiving. Colossians 2, verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. We are commanded to be thankful. So I think you have an idea what this message is about, that we are to be thankful. So in our text, in 1 Thessalonians 5, there's three things that each one of us should be doing at all times. You should be rejoicing, you should be praying without ceasing, and you should be giving thanks. Our prayers are to be part of a constant flow of communion with God, in which you share your joy and your thanks. Tell him that you're thankful for what he's done and what he's provided to you in your life. This is God's will for you, that you rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Again, unthankfulness is a mark of unbelievers. And again, Romans 1, verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So when you look at these three commands in regards to your own soul, how are you doing? Are you rejoicing always? Is your heart full of joy? Are you eager in communing with the Lord and thanking him for everything? Are you praying always? And are you exceedingly grateful? If we are grateful for all that God has done in our lives, then I just want to challenge you that all of us would show that, and by how we give and how we help some of these ministries. I thought of the Operation Christmas Child. I thought of the Union Gospel Mission, those kind of things. If you are grateful and if you have the ability, do so. Help these ministries in any way that you can. And be cheerful. Cheerful in your giving, showing the love that Christ has put in your heart. So, a heart of joy, eagerness to commune with God, praying always, being grateful and thankful. In our sanctification, these things should be present and they should be growing in us. We should be looking to always be, so to speak, building these things up, and also building these things up in those who we are ministering around. Our sanctification should be joyful. It should seek constant communion with God and should be thankful in everything. So when you think of your spiritual condition, look at whether or not you rejoice. Do you have open and unending communication with God? And do you give thanks in everything? So if these things are not present in your life, then something is wrong. Something has taken away your joy. It has interrupted your communion and taken away your gratitude. It may be that you doubted God's wisdom, maybe God's sovereignty. It could have been, even like in my situation, that maybe it was selfishness. But maybe it was selfishness, not that this was my situation, but that you are discontent with God and what he provides and what he promises. I thought that was wonderful to end up hearing this morning's message from our dear brother Steve, of thinking of that. I think that sometimes that is the problem. That was part of my problem, was taking my eyes off of God and taking my eyes off of heaven and the joys that should bring. And at times that floods back when I think of, in the adult Sunday school, when we went through the Heaven book. That may be one of my all-time favorite ones to have gone through. It just was so in depth and what you will experience in the new heavens and the new earth. But if you want, maybe you want more pleasure, possessions, and the things of this world than the blessings that God provides. And maybe it's because you're unforgiving, bitter, and unthankful. It blinds your vision of God. It blinds your vision. Because of our neglect of God's word, time wasted on empty things, we can lack zeal for God and for his word. Too often, we fail to understand that God has a plan, or we lose sight of that God has a plan, and he's unfolding that plan for your good and for his glory. In my life, the sorrow and the heartache, that's what they did. They blinded me. They blinded my vision of God and of his goodness towards me. I was overwhelmed in tears and repentance that I ever was that sorrowful, just because God is so good, has been abundantly good to me and to my family. So we need to keep our eyes focused on him. The things that happen in our life, they can be the most powerfully transforming, the things that happen in our life that can be the most powerfully transforming, and many of you know this, are often things that look like they are the worst. They hurt. They look like, how is good coming out of this? It hurts. John MacArthur says this about 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and being thankful. We are commanded to be thankful. Thankful for God's holiness. Thankful for God's wisdom. Thankful for God's grace and mercy. Thankful for his loving kindness, his goodness. Thankful for the gift of Christ and all the spiritual blessings that are in Christ. Thankful for our salvation. Thankful for victory over sin and death. Thankful for divine guidance and the indwelling Holy Spirit. Thankful for the complete provision of all of our needs. Thankful for the power of the Word of God in our lives. Thankful for the church. Thankful for Christian fellowship. And even thankful for trial. And thankful for the hope of glory. That's a pretty good list. But I will tell you, as I've looked at all of this, the thing that I was convicted the most of that I don't do is when I looked at so many of those things you are to be thankful for, to pray and thank God for the faith of those around you. Pray and thank God for your salvation. Pray and thank him for his holiness. And the list goes on. In a nutshell, my prayers were too short. They were too truncated. They weren't honoring and glorifying and lifting God up and saying, thank you. Thank you for what you have done. We must be committed to spending time every day in God's word, praying to him all throughout our day, and rejoicing and being thankful for God and all that he is and all that he has done in our lives. I hope that for all of us, when we meditate upon the goodness of God and how many things in our lives we have to be thankful for, that it would cause rejoicing and thankfulness in our prayers and in our daily walk with God. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God Most High, we thank you for this time. Lord, help us to not have a spirit of ingratitude, that we have been blessed, especially in this country. We have been blessed beyond what we deserve. Help us, Lord, to always be thankful people, looking to give of ourselves and our resources to those around, always being humble, seeking to rejoice in you, to have sweet fellowship and communion with you, and to be thanking you every moment that we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.